Lena Lau is with us now, RNZ's treasure. Good morning to you.
Morena, Catherine.
Great to have you with us and thanks for this. Looking forward to a couple of your selections this morning that we'll get to, but tell me first about Origin in cinemas. I'm not familiar with this.
Yes, so this is Ava DuVernay's latest film. So this is the US filmmaker. You may recognise some of her work, which includes Selma, A Wrinkle in Time, When They See Us, that's on Netflix, and also her documentary 13th. So this film is based on a book, a New York Best Time Seller called Cast, The Origins of Our Discontents. Now this came out in 2020 and it's by Isabel Wilkerson, and we may have missed it just because that was sort of the height of COVID, but also the US election, it kind of went bonanza, big guns over there. Now, the book looks at connections between slavery over African-American people in the US, India's caste system, and the Holocaust. And sort of at first glance, you wouldn't think any of those things are linked. And what Wilkerson discovers is that it's not actually linked by racism as such, but by the social hierarchy of caste systems. So the idea that one group of people think that they're superior and that another group are inferior for whatever reason, and then you create and design laws and rules to enforce those ideas. And so when you think about that and you start to look at that, you look around the world and things look a little bit different. And so that's what happened in the US with slavery and then with the Holocaust and in India. You know, you're born into a social group, and particularly in India, you're born into a social group. You can't marry above, you can't work certain jobs because of this social status that you've been prescribed. So the book is a thesis, and what Ava DuVernay has done is taken this book and turned it into a film which portrays Isabel as the main character and follows her journey in researching and writing this book, starting in the US. It takes her to Berlin and India, so that's where the film goes as well. So as the audience, you're going along with her on this discovery. And it starts with, the film starts with the shooting of Trayvon Martin, the 17-year-old African-American from Miami in Florida who was fatally shot by George Zimmerman, a 28-year-old Hispanic-American. And Isabel is approached to write an opinion piece for this, and she declines, but it gets her thinking about how whether it is racism and whether racism is the only factor in bigotry. You know, why would a Hispanic man who's also in a minority group shoot a black teenager? That's what she starts thinking. And so that's how she gets put onto this, she starts writing this book. And along the way, while it's also about her journey and she loses a few family members along the way, so there's a lot of grief, but there are also stories of a married black researchers, Alison and Elizabeth Davis, who work with a white couple to uncover, in an undercover project, to find out about segregation, and that resulted in the 1941 book Deep South. And then there's another sort of vignette of the lynching of a black man where you have a group of white audience watching, and they're sort of treating it like a show and taking pictures and photos. So it's an sort of a biographical film, sort of documentary-like, but it was really affecting and it really stayed with me. I thought about it a lot the week after. And so while it does sound sort of quite depressing and it's sort of full of doom and gloom, there's a lot of grief, there's a lot of loss, but at the end I didn't really feel hopeless. I felt quite hopeful, which I wasn't expecting to feel. And I think it's because there's a sort of feeling of, well, now you know this, or this is a different way of looking at the world, you know, use this somehow and take this and go forward. That's sort of how I felt. But it's in the cinemas now, and I really encourage people to see it because it was pretty mind-blowing.
Very good. Look, a big, large, complex thesis to bring to the screen. So
absolutely,
to do it well says something.
And to do it through, I think this was definitely very intentional, but make it really human, you know, make it digestible, make it relatable and understandable into sort of a 2.5-hour film or 2-hour film. like you say, is quite a feat.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so recommending. And that is in cinemas nationwide now, is it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes, that's out.
Now, Baby Reindeer, I haven't seen it yet, but everyone's raving about it. It's the most popular Netflix series in New Zealand at the moment.
Yeah.
Look, it's not a new kind of subject, regrettably, for those
it's
on
not.
The receiving end of it. But what's so special about this particular story?
So, firstly, Catherine, don't do what I did and watch it before you go to bed. I started sort of at 8 or 9 o'clock, and I think I said, oh, I'll watch a couple of episodes, you know, and then go to bed. Well, 1 a.m. came round and I was binging it, and then I didn't get to bed about 3 o'clock. So, yeah.
Oh, just, I thought you meant you freaked yourself out, but actually you were just in binge
I just kept watching, and I thought, why am I doing this? This is not necessarily a pleasant, you know, subject matter. And then I wondered why I lay in bed for 2 hours not being able to sleep. Anyway, but, you know, this is a bit of a pivot from the last show, but like you say, it's just come out on Netflix. I binged it. It's a limited series, so 7 episodes. And it's described as a black comedy, but it's pretty haunting actually. So it's based on a true story about the Scottish comedian Richard Gadd. And he's written and created the show. He also plays the main character, so himself effectively in the story. And it's about his experiences of being stalked by a woman and sexually assaulted in his 20s. Those are two sort of separate incidents. Now, in his 20s, he worked in a pub in Camden, and one day a woman called Martha shows up, and she says she's a lawyer. She works with sort of the top politicians in the country, but on the other hand, she can't afford a Diet Coke, and so he gives her one on the house. That's where it sort of begins. And from that moment, she starts coming in every day. She starts turning up to his comedy gigs at night, sends him hundreds and eventually thousands of emails. She gets his phone number in the end and just leaves him hundreds of hours of voicemail. So it's very intense, and she starts showing up his house and that sort of thing. She calls him Baby Reindeer, and that's where the title comes from. But the show moves between the past and present, and it goes back to a few years where he went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You know, as a comedian, you're trying to make it. You hope that maybe you do the show and it gets spotted and it catapults you to stardom. But he ends up meeting a TV writer producer there who says he'll mentor him and help him in his career, and ends up getting groomed and assaulted by this mentor, or so-called mentor. And that sends him down a spiral of confusion and self-hate and self-loathing and depression, and trying to come to terms with his own sexuality, but also trying to get through the trauma and unpack, you know, what happened to him. And there's shame, there's embarrassment, there's a lot of analysis as to how you reacted, how you should have reacted, why didn't you do it this way, what am I doing now? So there's a lot of confusion wrapped up in that incident. And then it cuts to sort of present day, where Martha enters his life and he's still reeling from the what happened a few years earlier. And so he's trying to manage, I suppose, what feels like manage himself, manage what happened, and now he's trying to manage Martha and this situation. And it takes him, you know, 6 months before he goes to the police to report it, because he doesn't really know how to describe it. He doesn't know what to say. And sort of he's proven right, where he does go to the police and says, you know, this woman is stalking me. She sent me all these emails and sent me and follows me everywhere. And the policeman says, oh, can you show me an example of an email? And the one email he shows the police is not particularly threatening, or, you know, there aren't really any grounds for them to follow it up. And so then he's batted away and sort of goes back home and is left to deal with it himself. And so it's a very specific story, very, very individual to this man, Richard Gadd. But he's talking you through the show, he narrates it. He's talking you through his thoughts, his actions. It's very, at times, the pace is very quick, lots of quick cuts, very stylistic. Other scenes are played out slower. And it sort of feels like that's mimicking what's happening in his life and his mind. It's hectic, it's uncertain, it's unpredictable. It has bits of sort of Trainspotting. It made me think of Trainspotting at times, just the sort of fast pacedness of, you know, being at Edinburgh or his life. So it's very specific to him, but I think it's very relatable in that, you know, humans are very complicated, we're very complex, and I've spoken to a few people when they've said, oh, he was so frustrating to watch. You know, at times I felt angry with him because you wanted him to say a certain thing or react in a certain way or not, you know, give oxygen to a certain situation. And that's all very easy to say, I think, you know, if you or I were in that position, who knows what we would do? And you don't know until you're in it yourself.
It's a very peculiar human behaviour, that's for sure, and a very disconcerting one for those on the receiving end. Baby Reindeer is on Netflix at the moment. Now, the moon is upside down. We've only got about 90 seconds left, but we had a good chat with Lauren and Elizabeth yesterday. But what did you make of it?
Do you know what? I thought there was really enjoyable moments. Everyone that, you know, star cast, Robbie McSeaver, Rachel House, Jermaine Clement, Robin Malcolm, everyone's amazing. Three separate stories about three different women, a Russian male order bride who's duped, an emotionally numb doctor, and then an empty nester trying to sort of figure her new life, I suppose. And all really relatable, but I think my one gripe would be that at the end I was expecting them all to meet up or bump into each other, and that didn't quite happen. But very enjoyable moments.
It's an anti-spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I think the standout for me of this production is the circumstances in which it was pulled together. 22 days during COVID, lead what do we call that? MIQ.
Yeah, isolation time.
You know, we wish, and you as a creative, I'm sure, share this. We wish we weren't having to do everything on the smell of the oily rag kind of pennies in the pocket.
Yeah.
But regrettably,
we're
really good at this. Kiwis are really good at it. And with a stellar cast like that as well, that's, I hear what you're saying, Pilina, but I certainly really enjoyed watching it.
And I think there were definitely moments where I just, you know, I laughed a lot, and also it gets your emotions going, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, The Moon is Upside Down is in cinemas now as well. Pilina Lau of RNZ's Culture 101, thank you so much for that.